All right, Cole, what are we doing this time?
Well, Gary, it's time for us to take our duck feed retreat.
Oh, hey! Yes, it's about time.
Yeah, I know, right?
So I thought it was a joke that I got vacation time.
But. Well, no, it's going to be mostly trust falls. But okay. The thing is, I do not know where I'm going to be dropping you on the ground at.
Dropping me on the ground, okay.
Yeah.
We're doing the thing on the Simpsons episode where it's cheap if you don't care where you go.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a standby, right?
We're gonna fly into like the single engine Cessna Gary, Indiana airport that's on fire all the time. Probably. Okay.
It's like that airport from Synecdoche, New York.
Let's head over there and,
okay,
and see what
the slip here says we need to go down hallway 4J.
Okay.
So I guess this is a gate, maybe, or something.
I'll go down this hallway for anybody.
Okay.
All right.
This is really really long.
Yeah, it's getting posh.
Yeah. Well, are those sconces, Gary?
They're scepters.
Are those scones, Gary?
All right. Let me turn the door here. All right. Oh. Hey. Hello.
Greetings, gentlemen.
Brayden, what's? I'm thoroughly confused.
I'm so pleased you got my invitation to fly on my airline.
This doesn't comport with anything I know about you, Brayden.
I know, I've been keeping this really low key. Look, I have two eggs, one for each of you.
Hmm.
You can choose between the blue egg or the red egg. The blue egg will take you home. And you'll forget all about this crazy adventure, all about video games, and you'll become successful accountants. Or the red egg, where I'll take you on an exciting adventure known as managing your own airline.
Those both sound very bland.
But I use the word exciting.
Do you have some hot sauce or something I can put on this egg?
Yeah. Okay. And some salt, too.
Okay. Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. If this isn't hard-boiled, Brayden.
Just sluicing down my chin.
Yeah.
And there's a
why did I take a bite of the shell?
There's a flash drive in here, and let me plug it into my wrist port. it's AeroBiz.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How appropriate. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Like, you win this round, AeroBiz.
Oh gosh, what are your names?
I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
Cameron.
Oh fuck.
Oh shit.
Train wreck. Plane wreck.
Fucked it up.
We did. No, the rhythm's off.
I should have been the air traffic controller for that.
Brain, man. I'm sorry, you have to go.
It's okay. Rhythm is a dancer.
Well, it's a source of pleasure. Brayden, what's your name?
Soul companion. My name is Brayden Cameron.
Yeah. It was a callback to something no one will ever hear. That you guys don't actually. It was a callback to something that happened when you guys weren't there. And then who are you? Whoever's not Brayden and not me, say who your name is.
My name is Cole. Gary, I'm hurt you don't know me.
Huh? I've never known you. Who can really know Cole?
Yeah.
And this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play bad games, so you don't have to.
Yeah, not bad games.
Yeah, I don't really know how to describe it.
I can't say enough to judge it, actually. Like, it feels like sedate and strange and very out of place, but not bad.
It moves slower than it feels like it does.
Right.
Like, you play for a long time to do very little. And as you heard, we are joined by Brayden Cameron.
Mm-hmm. Of the Teenage Dirtbags. Thank you so much, Brayden.
Oh, no, thank you for letting me come on your show.
Yeah.
Thank you for accepting the invite.
Yeah. So Brayden, you've had a love affair with AeroBiz for a long time. In fact, that is your go-to, kind of like how my grandparents always refer to video games as Mario's, like, just like, oh yeah, AeroBiz, that's the game.
Yeah. Brayden's always talking about playing in first person Aerobiz.
I play a lot of puzzle Aerobiz, and I've been really into the most recent Metal Gear Aerobiz.
The Aerobinding of Isaac.
The Aerobinding of Isaac. But to be honest, I did play a lot of this game when I was younger. So that's not incorrect.
What a cool kid.
I want you on my side in a fight.
Yeah, that's right.
I pick you first for kickball.
Of course.
So if anybody who's listening to this doesn't know the cover of Aerobiz for Super Nintendo, I found a new favorite Super Nintendo cover.
What was the previous? What was the previous favorite?
That's a good question. Probably Phalanx.
Okay.
But now Aerobiz, where it is like a CEO sitting in office, looking out the window at an airplane flying by, clearly into his building, like banking hard left to hit him. And he could not care less.
And his office is so high up, he can actually see the horizon of the Earth, the curvature of the Earth, and onto other continents.
Yep.
Yes. He is on the world's tallest panopticon as CEO of the Earth.
Yeah,
he's elected an Earth CEO.
He's on the 7,000th floor of the space elevator.
Exactly. The private space flight. And he just, like, this plane is going into his panopticon, and he could not care less while he simultaneously, like, talks on a phone, looks at a laptop, and moves papers about.
papers with charts. And that's how you know it's important.
He's the best. And then it says, as CEO, you call the shots on the front, which every kid wants to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of the appeal of the game, is that you finally... after being oppressed by your parents for so long, get to call the shots.
Yeah. You're not the CEO of me. You say to your parents.
No. Mom, I can totally get a dog. I just, ran an airplane, an airline out of Japan and became number one for 3 quarters in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How much harder how much harder could getting a go-kart be than opening up negotiations with Sydney?
It's a responsibility game.
And sending one of my white people down to Sydney.
Sending Christian Slater down to Sydney.
Yeah. Hey guys. Throw another me on the Barbie.
Gleam that cube.
I'm here to gleam the cube. When cubes get gleamed down here, it's the opposite. It's the Coriolis effect.
Mr. Robot.
Well, okay.
It's a pretty good show. The cover for Aerobiz Supersonic is not as good, but still pretty good. Which is Supersonic is like the expansion pack where they add future modes.
Have you played Supersonic before, Brayden?
I have played Supersonic. I don't remember it as well as regular Aerobiz. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
I gotta tell you, Brayden, I'm really disappointed. Yeah. I thought you'd bring a little bit more to the table. I don't know.
I prefer Aerobiz, Supersonic, and Knuckles personally. If I'm gonna play one of them.
instead of carts like locking on, they were shaped like planes that were refueling in midair. with airplane penises. Yeah,
this is like a blander version of like pilot wings, like an aesthetic, like the music and stuff. Like this is, I mean, it's not really the same type of game, but like the kind of what it's trying to present.
Yeah,
I feel like it's like a pilot wings. Like if you're kids, if you think that's fun, like what would it be like to manage all of that? And then,
kind of like the Football Manager 2015, as opposed to playing like the new Madden game.
Yeah.
Witness the wonder of aviation.
Yeah, exactly. Are we going to be able to see a completed box? Oh no!
Look,
do we get to fly the planes? Yeah.
You can watch a representation of them flying. Go ahead, Brayden.
No, you get to watch a representation, as you said. And then when you establish a new airline, you basically get the like Final Fantasy III like victory music.
Yeah.
It's like one note off.
So this is a PC-ass console game. Like, I... yeah. I was shocked to see that this wasn't like that this wasn't an Amiga or Coleco thing.
It's originally for the FM Towns. The FM Towns Marty. Yes.
So FM Towns, comma Marty. Gary. Yeah. How many times do I have to tell you my name is Cole?
It did have those original like kind of old computers, mm-hmm. like the NEC PC thing, like those things. And it feels like as such. And it's Koi, and that's what Koi does. Mm-hmm. Koi. Mm-hmm. Because you guys have all played Koei games, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh, like all of them. They make all my favorite games about warriors.
Yeah, and there are various types: samurai, destiny,
Gundam,
Hyrule, yeah, Gundams.
Oh Gundam, wow,
Orochi.
Yeah. I was actually going to come on here and talk about the game this like reminds me the most of, which is when I was real young, I rented Nobunaga's Ambition.
Yeah.
You know, because it was the Genesis game, and there was we got some fans in the house.
Not just Nobunaga. I'm trying to think of some sort of like weird, like it's very 90s like ad for it, which would be like Cowabunga Nobunaga.
Nobunaga.
I we've talked about this before where I always thought it was Nobunaga, which it was just like a way less cool name than Nobunaga. Yeah. Nobunaga's ambition. Like it's just like his ambition is to go eat a fudgicle. Like just
I dropped my pop.
Yeah. My ambition is I'm no longer hungry and I want to see if I can find the lid for my yogurt so I can save the back half.
I got most of the fruit off the bottom, but there's some residual syrup.
Yeah.
Oh, Nobunaga. It's a slice of life.
With all this granola.
Well, they say you should put it in the yogurt, but you don't have to. You can save it for Slater.
I'll for take Slater. The rest of that. Yeah.
More granola for me. For my mama. Eat me. I'm gonna make you bleed.
Wow. Hold on. Yeah. Let me just back up. Did Christian Slater just become Axl Rose?
Yeah, baby.
But anyway, Nobunaga's Ambition, I had no business checking this out at age 8 because it was just not what I was looking for. I see a picture of a samurai and I think I'm going to be chopping stuff up, not, you know, managing my fiefdom. So
pushing armies against one another.
Yeah. And so to see that these are both made by the same people, like you can totally see the same feel and ethic between them.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And like, I think this is almost like good and playable, except that it's like playing a board game where you have like a video game version of a board game where you have to watch the other players do their entire turn.
Yes.
Like the space between, I do not like the waiting for the other player as part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way to get through that? I just didn't figure out.
I just jammed a bunch of buttons.
Yeah, I totally.
I don't know if it worked. I just like jamming buttons.
You can hold down X to or Y. I can never remember which order they're in, but you can hold down the top button in order to make text move slightly faster. But that's the best I could do.
I noticed that when I was so in the post round, like wrap up kind of thing, where it's giving you the summaries, I couldn't figure out which buttons were mapped to what. And so I was pressing buttons and advancing screens, but I was like looping through them. So like there's advance the like in this section, but then there's like go to the next like subset of the spreadsheet.
Yeah. Yeah, it is real spreadsheety. It's like like a less friendly Sims or SimCity, where like, you know, I don't know what, like, I know even less about managing an airport than I do managing a city,
right?
Weirdly enough, and there's no like friendly cartoon to tell me what to do.
Like, yeah. When you've never lived in an airport, that would be ridiculous.
No, like, yeah, like there's no like the terminal two, you know.
Terminal velocity, yeah.
Yeah,
terminal cold. They couldn't get Tom Cruise back, so they got Tom Sizemore. It's really weird.
Gary, we can't leave this airport here. Quick, attach all the planes to it and we'll drag it. It's terminal velocity.
This is not my joke, but that reminds me, terminal two terminal velocity reminds me of my favorite fake sequel joke, which is War Horse 2, the Horse War. Yeah, that's really great. Yeah. anyway, what attracted this to you to this, Brayton?
I was a big fan of Koi or Koi or however you want to pronounce it, or however it's actually pronounced. My apologies. games when I was younger, we played a lot of like Dynasty Warriors. Well, I'm sorry, not Dynasty Warriors. Like Genghis Khan 2 and Nobunaga's Ambition and Romance of the Three Kingdoms games. So I was kind of already a grand strategy nerd as a kid. So just wanted to do something else. And like I was such a big fan of everything else they made. Ended up playing a bunch of Aerobiz. It's kind of weird. Like, looking back, I don't think I ever was good at it. But, you know, it has a weird, like, aesthetic that's similar to... Did you guys ever play Utopia on the Super Nintendo?
No.
It was basically SimCity, but, like, in the future, where you could build, like, evil science labs and stuff like that.
That sounds really cool.
It's actually kind of neat. It was a neat game. But yeah, it had kind of a similar aesthetic, so I think that part of it appealed to me as well.
Mm-hmm. I could imagine this, tell me if I'm crazy, I could imagine this being fun with a group of people, if you weren't just watching the computer go, but it was like, hey, we're going to have Aerobiz night, and we're going to sit down and try and run this.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was it's my friend Marty and I, and Gary, you remember Marty,
FM Towns Marty.
Yes, of course. He and I, you know, like we had... Basically, here was the routine every week of the entire school year. We had bowling Saturday morning, so Friday night I would stay at his house, and we would play video games way too late into the evening. And by evening, I mean morning. So, you know, after you've played every game, you end up at Aerobiz. And you play Aerobiz for 8 hours a week for like 7 consecutive weeks. I don't know.
But like, this just feels like a reskinned Risk to me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like, kinda. There's like less randomness,
right?
In it, it feels like it feels to me like you're setting up like a system of you know, like building blocks, but without like the feedback is so slow in this. Like, I set it on not on the easiest mode, but on pretty easy, and it's doing pretty well. But you don't actually like make your money back from an investment for a very long time.
Yeah. And I couldn't find like a good balance sheet.
Yeah. I didn't really know what to be putting money into. I'm like, okay, well, I'll make a couple routes and I'll send the guy to negotiate somewhere and I'll build some planes. And then you just kind of wait for a very long time. And then you game shark it and get infinite money. So you can become, even then though, like the game time gates you. Because you can only have like one negotiation going on at a time, or you have those limited number of negotiators. You can only build one hotel at a time. You can only have one set of planes building at a time. Like, it has that kind of thing going for it. So it's super weirdly slow. There is, like, when I was saying how there isn't a little friendly wheel, right? You can go into a little
boardroom. You can go to the board of advisors.
Yeah, you can go to the board of advisors, but for some reason I couldn't exit out of it. Like, it took me, it's a different button to get out of that screen or something. Or they were just continuously, like, everyone needs to say their piece on every subject before I can go. Or something. I was stuck in there, and I was like, oh, I broke the game. Yeah. Like, it is just like being in a meeting simulator now. It's just biz bits.
Yeah. Can I draw attention to the box again and how the CEO is sitting in a chair made of purple hot dogs?
It's an inflatable beach chair.
It is kind of
It's one of those hand chairs.
Well, that would be really fitting given when this game came out. Yeah.
I give the orders. I'm in the grip of the pink palm.
Yes.
Not you. You can get up into the pink palm in my 40-story panopticon. then you can give me the orders.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's what you play as. You play as a cursor, right? Just a pointer, you know? Like, that that seat is the locus of his power, but he can project an avatar.
Yeah, like the Hamburglar.
Yeah,
like those Glover. Things you shoot in Link to the Past. Yeah, or the Glover.
Yeah.
One more day till retirement.
The air business is rigged.
It's rigged. And we're all too cold for this.
Yeah. I'm getting too cold for this shit.
Yeah, it is a chair made of purple hot dogs.
It is that is the most color. Like, I'm not made of stone. I like a little bit of color in my office. look at my whimsical coffee cup. It's got the name of the company.
My wife Deborah is a part-time internal decorator. Is that the term? Internal decorator? Yeah, that's right. She bedazzles my mouth. She told me that this chair would have a little bit of pop. It's a power chair, she said. I trust Deborah. Lamps.
Yeah. But here
my lamp is on loan from the Library of Congress.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, well, there's a plane coming to crash. Well, I don't like living anyway, so my affairs are in order.
I'll deflect it off of my hair helmet.
Yeah. His tie is really colorful too. I like this guy. I think that he's living his loudest truth as he can within the confines of what he has to do to make a buck.
Yeah, I really think that the main character of Aerobiz, he just shows kind of what the strictures of modern society and especially corporate culture can do to a person. But it's the small gestures that help you kind of like not break the borders, but rub up against them in a way that makes friction and heat. You know?
Yeah. He's holding up a mirror.
Yeah, he's holding up a mirror. He's doing some frottage on the edge. You know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Frottage on the edge.
It is the biz of the arrow, and who's better at that than the smith of the arrow?
I didn't think about how funny the name of this is too, because it's a really dry simulator, but they took every possible way to make this sound like a cool version of that. Arrow biz. B-I-Z. Yeah.
So there has to be, like, if not a word, at least some kind of description or a way to encapsulate this kind of like early 90s sedate simulation, you know, specifically. What's that?
Like Wall Street Kid?
Yeah, like that, or even SNES SimCity kind of falls into this. Like something that is just pleasant and inoffensive and slow paced and just kind of like feels like an incredibly grown up game.
Those are good words for it, like pleasant and slow paced.
Yeah,
grown up. It's like a VH1 game.
Yeah, so when you got too high and you were afraid everything else was going to freak you out,
and you left your video golf at like a friend's house.
Yeah.
Oh no.
The guy who did the fact for this is Dan Simpson, who did all amazing Infinity Engine like D&D facts.
Oh wow!
Like this guy, he's done the premier facts for Baldur's Gate and Icewind Dale and stuff. It's really strange.
I forget what I was going to say. It's a very good fact. It's very thorough.
Yeah. Yeah, and this one, you know, it tells you this game is like, it's simpler than you think it is. It's like, it looks incredibly complicated, but the amount of things you can actually do are actually pretty simple. You know, it's fun too. Did you guys figure out which scenario did you play?
Oh, I played the Birth of Aviation. I played like the 50s one.
Like the Wright Brothers, like code one where it's just you like bicycling with a thing with an umbrella on it off a cliff.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
That dog's not gonna make it.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? He who dares wins. Except in my case, at which point, no, I did not.
He who dares dies from gravity fall.
Yep.
Because I couldn't figure out like there's a difference. Like the other one, it's just different models of planes. I think is the only difference. Like it's not like SimCity where you get these exciting different, like, this is what the airplane industry was like in 1972. You know, like like you're solving these crises. It's just like old plane, new plane.
Yeah. Well, there's like geopolitics factor into that as well, right? Like if you start in Russia during the Cold War, you have trouble buying non-Russian planes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and it's weird because like...
Well, interesting is not quite the right word.
No, interesting is right. I mean, not fun, not exciting, interesting. Yeah, No, and different cities will host the Olympics.
Yeah, I remember
specific years and stuff like that. So I would imagine time having some kind of factor. And then also the idea that they're supersonic, like when you get like from 2000 to 2020, I imagine buying new, better planes with higher capacity and like different routes lets you basically change the shape of the map. Biotechnology, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game of subtle differences.
Yeah.
I think it's the third scenario if you play as Britain or France, you get a Concorde, which is fun.
Hmm.
So you get to fly that thing really super fast.
Yeah.
Well, no, you don't
and
get
charge
to fly
people
anything.
Extraordinary amount. Well, that's true. You get to yeah. set up like an enormous number of routes very quickly, and then charge people way too much money for it because it's so fast.
Yeah, you're just operating at a higher efficiency.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like Crazy Taxi. Like, I'll pay $700 if you get me here in 2 seconds.
I really want
the
some
margins are enormous.
Yeah.
Oh man. The composer for this game composed a lot of anime soundtracks, but notably did Soul Edge, the predecessor to Soul Calibur, did the mm-hmm. music for that, mm-hmm. and then did the music for the Cho and Nikki fighting game.
Oh.
I thought it was just grunts.
I mean, that might have just been you.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, that's just that was the case for me. Yeah.
That's the gruntscape I have going on in my brain 24/7.
Yep.
The thing with Aerobiz, like, one of the problems I had playing it, and this is something you could get through trial and error, it's not a criticism of the game, is that I had no sense of the economy. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't know what was a lot in this world. So I would go somewhere to negotiate and it'd be like, how many path or how many, you know, docks do you want? And I could choose between like 1 and 60, and I didn't know what was a lot and what was a little.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what is too much? What does that mean? How, you know, like, maybe it's all in the manual too. Like, again, it's not criticism of the game, but it's very hard to just kind of pick up and play this game.
Yeah.
For me at least.
Mm-hmm.
I got a pretty good sense, actually. So this is one of the ways that watching the computer take their turns helped was mm-hmm. like, you know, I didn't set any routes the first time because I thought that I had to negotiate for all of them. But no, there are some places that have routes you can take, and seeing that other people were doing that let me know, like, okay, like, conceivably this is something that I can do at this stage in the game and not something that could be later. So like, that was a little bit of a tutorial. However, it was easy mode, or not like the easiest, but whatever number two was. So who knows how good the decisions they were making were.
The you can set this up when you set up the game. It's defaults to it being 4 computers, and then you have to set it to man to be the man. But you could just watch the computer play Aerobiz against itself.
Yeah.
As long as you want.
I wonder if there's a blog out there that's just like someone who's done that and let it run for as long as possible, kind of in that sort of same.
Oh, man.
Somebody who plays Civilization 3 for 25 years or something.
Yep, I remember that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, I would be interested in reading that person attempt to make that entertaining for as long as they could.
Yeah, at some point they posit that Japan has, you know, the AI for Japan has actually become self-aware, and
yeah,
I just chose Japan at random. It wasn't
wait a minute,
just a random choice.
All these weird, all of these planes, they're flying to Japan, like, to this place, but there's no passengers. It's full of microchips.
Did we just write like a really bad, like, creepypasta, like the Aerobiz creepypasta, where all the planes fly into Japan but nothing flies out?
Yeah.
It's like, I picked up this Aerobiz from a garage sale. It was missing the label, but it was a little weird. When I put it in, it was kind of distorted, and then there was weird sound effects I'd never heard. It sounded like a little bit like somebody crying.
Yeah. Help,
I am trapped in Aerobiz. I am also using a ham radio.
This plane is about to hit the building. Please.
Yes, please, I'm trapped in an illustration.
I'm sitting in a hot dog chair.
The only way you can talk to them is by going to the meeting mechanic over and over again.
That's why they wouldn't let you go. They were so lonely, Gary.
Please stay a while. Stay forever. You can check out. You can never.
But we have so much data to go over.
Yes. We will fill your brain.
Quarterly reports. EBIT.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
See, like that.
Why are they fans of Drowning Pool? That's really weird.
Well, what's funny about that is it gives me a very good idea of when that person was Captain End into that cartridge.
he was in his beamer listening to the radio.
Yeah.
And that song came on. It's like that Life on Mars TV show. Yeah. Yeah. Dan Simpson, the guy who did the fact, recommends you just watch the computer play for a while.
No, I could see
like,
that.
No, thanks. I'll shoot myself in the foot instead. That sounds awful.
Well, you learn the rhythm of it if you want to play some Aerobiz.
Yeah, I'm sure there's like a good Let's Player out there.
Mm-hmm.
I tried watching some Let's Plays of it. There were not any good ones.
Didn't you say the speed route is like 90 minutes?
Yeah, there's a speed run that's like for scenario three is like an hour and 15 minutes or something. There's no commentary. It's just like someone quickly clicking for that long. Yeah.
What I want is the esports version of Erebus where the players are like too busy concentrating to speak, but there's a color commentator and a technical commentator.
Yeah.
And we see here he opened up a route between Atlanta and Washington. That seems like a real risky move. Well, actually, back in 1964,
yeah, get a shoutcaster. it's on. It's team Volition's doing something weird.
He knows. He can tell the RNG is gonna give him. He's gonna give him Rio de Janeiro Olympics. It's gonna happen. That's why he's setting it up.
It's weird that the Olympics things are RNG based because.
Those happened in places in years.
Yeah. Definitely happened in places in years.
Yeah.
The old Aerobiz.
Just headed to the rat race.
Do you guys still like flying, or you guys gotten to the point now where it's lost all its novelty? And you
it's
like
a
it?
Dreadful chore.
Dreadful chore?
Yeah.
Where are you at with flying, Brayton?
I don't do it very often, so I'm okay with it.
I go through like a cycle every year. Like if I fly like twice in a year, the second time I'm like not into it.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I'm always kind of into it though. Like I grow to like it again.
The only enjoyment that I derive from flying now, and like I've flown more in the past 5 years than just I ever had before, is the fact that I feel like a semi-competent traveler now.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know all of the marks that I need to hit in order to make the process as smooth as possible.
Mm.
And so, you know, getting through security on time and like being places where they need to be and like being a conscientious traveler, like all of that feels satisfying to me in a way that like, you know, offsets my befuddlement in the early days.
Yeah. Early on, the first time I flew like alone, it was definitely weird.
Yeah.
And it was kind of hard. And then like, I eventually got used to it. And like now I kind of like, it feels the same as like being in a mall, you know, like you go there and it's like, I'm restricting the food I can eat, and I can like window shop some stores.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly it's just like kind of like being in a mall. And then like the actual process of being on the plane, I usually don't find very pleasant.
No, you're stacked like cordwood. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's weird that I kind of like the airport part, which is like the part I think most people hate, because they're like, I can't wait to get on that plane and get drunk. I never understood that, because that will make me vomit.
Yeah.
That seems like a bad idea. Plus, yeah. You have to get up and go pee a whole bunch.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. I will never get up and go pee in a plane.
Yeah.
Like if I can help it, that's not going to happen.
I sent you guys an image in the Skype. Let me know if you get it. There's a specific advisor who's a real sad face.
Yeah, you're the guy who looks like Ted Cruz, kind of, or something. Yeah, like that. Like, he's a real candle boy McBelthead. That's a nice segue going into the next episode that we're recording.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Do we have anything else to say about Aerobiz?
No, like this definitely tickles my like fastidious nerd. Oh wow, I see him now. That is totally
definitely tickle that fastidious nerd for you.
Yeah, like this particular droopy face Ted Cruz guy. Sorry, no, I just got it. No, like it definitely tickles like the part of me that like, you know, really enjoyed playing Lemonade Stand when I was 7 years old.
Oh sure,
you know, like just like is it a game that I would have time to play right now? No, but like. There's DNA here that I really enjoy. So yeah, like, you know, whatever.
If you think that Lemonade Stand is too fast paced, like this is the game for you. If like you can't handle the fast paced action of that.
Brayden, did it hold up for you?
No. it was again. It was like we've already said it's way too slow paced, and I was just kind of like while I was playing it, the half hour couldn't have gone slower. And I also tried to watch a bunch of Let's Plays to get a better idea, and it just was not, it's not doing it.
Yeah.
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 Hmm.
It's I would agree with that. It's not, I mean, it's like, you know, if I was a kid, I would have played it. It's the same impulse in me that wanted to play Harvest Moon, who was like, oh, that sounds awesome. It's a, you know, it's a slow farm simulator. That's a weird idea for a game.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would have been, you know, that part of me likes it. But every other part of me screams in frustration.
Yeah. You know, it's a dad game. Like it goes beyond being a dad game, it goes to being an uncle game a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Uncle game is a good way to put Aerobiz.
Yeah.
Uncle Aerobiz. Brayden, thank you for joining us.
Yes, we appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was a delight as always.
Happy to have you. And hey, for people who are listening to this like a week ago, there's a thing you could listen to what we're recording after this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, thank you. Cool. I guess.
Gary, what's happening?
Joining us in the future, which is the past.
Yeah, I've become unstuck in time.
Gary, you have a nosebleed. I don't know if you know that.
Yes, I have come unstuck in time. I apologize for that.
No, but if you're listening to this and you like this particular dynamic with these three people, I will have been going to be a guest on Teenage Dirtbags talking about some Bowie videos.
Yeah, future in perfect proper perfection format.
Did you say perfection?
Yes, perfection. Nabunga's perfection.
My cheese crackers didn't come with the red spreader thing.
So my ambition is to get new spreader.
Nobunga just used piece of wood from table.
Nobunga used mouth to spread cheese. It no work.
Nobunga make do.
Get in trouble. Yeah. Anywho. If you like the show, you can also rate and review it on iTunes. You can become a patron on patreon.com/duckfeedtv. I like how we say Patreon, where some other creators just go patron.com.
Yeah, it's weird. That is so misguided.
Yeah.
Huh, you want them to go to the place where they can give you money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ratings, reviews.
Yeah. Awesome. All that good stuff, telling friends. Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Indeed. And you should listen to Teenage Dirtbags.
Yeah.
Bonfires and Chat.
Yeah. You should listen to the most popular show on the network.
Yeah. Yeah. Give it a shot. Give that underdog a shot.
Yeah. You know,
I'm so sick of people bad-mouthing the Super Bowl every year.
What does that have to do with anything, Gary?
No, it's just that idea that like this thing that is
it's an underdog.
Defending. Oh, yeah. Okay. Like treating something that's popular like it's an underdog.
Yeah, we don't watch this, it's not going to stick around.
Exactly. Every time the Super Bowl comes around, people go online, they're like, God, I'm so sick of people making fun of this. Like, just let everybody have their enjoyment. And like, dude, you're fine. Well, it's the biggest sports event of the year. You are fine.
Yeah. Well, also people who say sports ball are kind of dicks.
It's like annoying, but I don't think it's worth commenting. It's not as big as, it's not a problem.
About.
It's not as annoying or as dickish as the entire like multi-trillion-dollar
culture
advertising.
Being about. Yeah,
yeah, the entire violent, like stupid culture around the thing they're making fun of. Like, it is. It's a big concussion party. Like, great, you know. It's,
Gary,
yeah, go to bat for that.
What's important is I can feel better than all of them. Okay,
that's. Anywho. And that's different. Like we'll get a football game suggested at some point, and then I can talk about how they cause more concussions than they prevent. And somebody can call us out for not knowing anything about sports.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for listening.
Yep.
Who is Biz Dog?
Help! Help! Help!
Yes.